Just a quick note to say that this is the second part of a two-part episode. If you haven't listened to the first part, I recommend you go back and do so. The first part is a guide to making friends as a freelancer. I want you to imagine a scene. A wide street filled with people stretching back as far as the eye can see. Thousands of people, all with face masks on, stood in a street lined with ornate architecture. At the front, two giant banners are held. Behind them, many placards poke out from within the crowd. The people start to jump in the air, chanting and whistling. A voice comes over the PA, singing and leading the chants, before a sound system kicks in and they start to dance beneath the blue sky. This was the scene of one of the largest protests organised by freelancers the world has ever seen. Tamara Petrovic was there that day. Here she is, stood in front of Serbia's parliament building where those very protests took place.
Can you describe for us what it felt like, that feeling of connection or of that feeling of coming together? How did that make you feel?
So we when we first saw each other, many of those people I met first time, like 4 months since this all started.
Yeah.
And it was really like brothers and sisters, and we were so thrilled to finally meet.
Yeah.
And do all this. It was really one of the best moments of my life.
Oh.
And you can see me, I'm not that young, so it means something, right?
Research conducted by our colleagues at the Online Labour Index at the Oxford Internet Institute found that in 2020, Serbia had around 70,000 people finding work on digital platforms. That's around 2% of the total workforce, giving Serbia the highest per capita concentration of freelancers working via digital platforms of any country in the world. I'm Robbie Waring, and in this episode of the Fair Work Podcast, we return to Belgrade, Serbia, and look at the freelancer protests that swept the country in 2021. In this episode, we start with the story of Tamara Petrovic and her role within the organisation of these protests. I hope you enjoy the show. To start off with, can you please introduce yourself and tell us what work you do?
So I am Tamara Petrovic, and I've been working as an English teacher for 6 years or seven.
And you work as an English teacher, but do you work as an English teacher here in Serbia?
No, I work online for a Chinese company. Actually, I've been working for them for past 6 years. First, like part-time only, and then I started working for them full-time in 2017.
And how did you get in to this line of work?
I was working, I had a regular job in this institute for cultural policy, and a friend of mine told me that there is opportunity for me working part-time on some Chinese platforms to teach English online. And I said, okay, I need money and I'm going to do it. So I first worked on weekends only. And then a year later, in 2017, I found a very good school which was paying a substantial amount of money, like three times more than I was making with my regular job. And I was a little bit tired of all of it, 15 years working in that work. So I just switched completely.
And so what does working for a company not based in Serbia, what benefits does that give you compared to finding a job here in this country?
In Serbia, you know, most of people can't really find the jobs that suits their educational background, or you know, as the rest of the Balkans, the salaries are very small, the jobs are scarce, and so it really meant, you know, like something that you can make more money, and also, you know, the flexibility of it. For me, for the first time I experienced that I can travel and work. That was really something.
And in 2020, something happened that posed a real threat to your livelihood. And can you tell us about what that was, and also how you found out about it?
So back in October, so it's a little bit over 2 years now, in October 2020, again on the social networks, namely in the, actually Facebook, somebody just posted, reposted the post from the tax office official Facebook account. And in that post, there was like an invitation to all freelancers, to all people actually who were not paying taxes for their additional income. And there were some platforms, seven of them, in that first, you know, information. And people who were teaching English, they saw the name of their school there. And, you know, I remember it, it was the 13th of October and it spread like a fire. And somebody said, well, it's about us. And really, we couldn't believe it. That they were inviting us to pay taxes for the past 5 years. And then, you know, people started to check what it is, to check what are those taxes, which law, and how much money we owe, and why would we owe it. And, you know, and then we started to organize ourselves and write posts and criticizing and figuring out what should we do about it.
Tamara isn't against being taxed. It's not that she believes that she shouldn't have been taxed at all, but the central issue that her and other freelancers had was how this policy was being introduced. Firstly, it penalised workers, levying large fines against all freelancers for failing to pay taxes. But within the existing system, actually paying your taxes was practically impossible. There was no avenue and no means for freelancers to declare their income and make contributions to the government. The system just didn't allow for it. Even workers who had proactively reached out to the government were left without an answer. Secondly, the payments were backdated for 5 years and the tax rates were very high, regardless of your income level. They would also be required to pay immediately. The combination of fines and taxes levied by the government meant that the majority of freelancers would have to pay equivalent to 80% of all their income that they made in the past 5 years. This threatened to leave many workers hugely indebted and end large-scale freelancing in Serbia.
And so we understand it. So the implementation of this tax law and the way in which the government was seeking to implement it, what would the material impact have been like on you?
For me, like really a lot of other people, it would mean that we owe a lot of money to the government, the money that we don't have. And that if anybody had any property, that everybody would lose it. Some people were thinking about divorcing each other. Some people were like saying, oh, okay, I have an apartment or something, so I should, you know, transfer the property to my grandma or someone. In my case, it meant because I have to pay the mortgage for my apartment next 20 years, five passed, so next 20. So I would definitely lose my apartment. I was in a situation, not just that, you know, I don't know how I would pay for that tax. Because what they wrote there, when we did our math, we saw that we had to pay 80% of the money we made in the past 5 years. So nobody had that kind of money, me neither.
And you have a 12-year-old daughter now. Mm-hmm. What would you and your daughter have done if you had had to pay this money to the government?
I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe I would go back to my mom, very far away from here. I would be jobless or something. And my daughter, you know, she goes to school here. Maybe that would mean that we have to move from Belgrade.
The organizing efforts of Tamara and her colleagues would eventually lead to thousands of freelancers taking to the streets of Belgrade. But these are workers who, the majority of whom, have little experience of trade unionism and collective action. They're also isolated from each other, geographically, with no shared workplace or even a shared employer. I was keen to know what the process of organising these workers was like. Initially, workers connected online, sharing outrage at the government's policy and the impact it would have on their lives. Then, they started to form Discord servers, where they collectively researched the government's policy and any recourse they had within the existing systems. Upon finding out they were on their own, they began to discuss organising strategies. This is Sonia, the freelancer who we met in the last episode, talking about this period.
So you find these people, you find these different mm-hmm. channels, and you realise that you're on your own, there's nothing to support you in the legislation. What happens next?
We were, of course, brainstorming what to do, how to react. So we decided to make some protests. We decided to have some email spamming, sending thousands of emails to the tax office, to, I don't know, the prime minister, whatever, to ask them to solve this issue somehow, because it's not possible to pay that amount of money.
And you're taking part in these organizational meetings, mm-hmm. you're having Discord chats with other freelancers around Serbia, and previously you hadn't had any real connection with these other freelancers. You're all disparate, you're all working from offices, from your homes, without a centralized workplace. What did it feel like to come together with these people and organize collectively?
Well, it was, well, maybe also a good feeling, because you knew you were not alone, that there were quite a lot of other people. I, for example, didn't know that there were online teachers of English who were teaching Chinese people. And suddenly I realized that there are 20,000 people in Serbia giving lessons of English to Chinese. Even though you felt some despair, you knew that there was a group of supporting you. You were already connecting in any various ways, also helping with jobs to one another, giving suggestions how to do something. So we became like a family.
Mm. Did you feel like there was a sense of solidarity between the workers?
Yes, there was.
And when you came together on the streets and you met people in person, what was that like?
It's like meeting somebody you knew for a very long time. It doesn't matter that you finally get to know his or her real name and how they look, because we all used aliases on Discord. So, yeah, we're just good friends now.
Tamara Petrovic.
What was it like mobilizing these freelancers, and when did it start to feel like it was a movement?
The first time when we gathered on the street, it started to feel like a real thing. And the first protest was definitely spontaneous. And when you see the people's faces for the first time, and you see that everybody's thinking the same thing, and that everybody is really, you know, the same as you are, you know, feeling the same things. We were so unified, and seeing people, you know, it was the crucial moment that then we felt that we have the power and that it's possible to change something. A lot of people were on our side. You know, in Serbia, there are so many freelancers. There is almost, you know, almost every family has a freelancer. So, you know, there were these grandmothers, grandfathers, parents who would also, you know, it was also their issue, you know, like their child, somebody's attacking their kid. So the support really grew. It wasn't only about freelancers. It was about everyone.
Mm, that's amazing to think about, this idea of how it affects, it touches so many different lives and so many different people across the whole country. You have been campaigning for a really long time now. The campaign's been going on since the end of 2020. I wondered what the best moment for you was throughout this whole period.
The best moment was this biggest protest, which was organized by us. It seemed like we were good at organizing things. And when we were on the National Assembly in front of it, actually we didn't know how many people would come. And when we started the protest, it was 3 p.m. It was Saturday. It was, January 16. And when we were on this stage and people were just coming through the neighboring streets of Belgrade, people from everywhere holding, you know, the messages for the government against what, you know, what they wanted to do to us. That was the best moment, one of the best moments of my life, not just, you know, of the campaign, because I think there was almost 10,000 people on the streets gathered from everywhere. And our organization that I belong to actually made this happen. So being there in front of everybody, you know, telling people, oh, let's now go here, let's start the rally, you know, after the speeches we gave, that was really the best thing. So then it was really, really amazing thing to see so many people.
The campaign had specific aims and objectives that they wanted to achieve. Within 6 months, the campaign had won significant concessions from the government, including amendments to how much freelancers would have to pay for the previous 5 years. The amount freelancers would have to pay was reduced from around 80% of all the income earned over the past 5 years to a maximum rate of 20%. I asked Sonia about their campaign and the specific outcomes that they achieved.
And so you were running this campaign, and how long did it go on for, and what were you working towards, and what did you achieve?
So the campaign, with demonstrations and various kind of protests, raising awareness about freelance problems, lasted about half a year. And then finally we received an invitation from the government to participate in negotiations on how to solve the issue of the past period.
And so you joined this working group with the government. And how long did that process go on for, and what did you achieve through that?
After this agreement we had with the government about the past period, we had to solve the future period. So we joined a working group with the government and a lot of various ministries, where we were drafting a law that would solve the future issue of freelance and how it will be taxable. That lasted for about a year.
And where are we at now? What have you achieved through your campaign?
Okay, so we don't have a particular only freelance law. So that was maybe something too big for this work group or for the current situation. But we have some changes to the law on income, where they have provided a solution for freelance incomes, for all incomes from abroad, on how they will be taxable and how to report them to the tax office. And we are also getting some rights that people didn't have before. So we are in a quite good position now. And well, the proposition of this law is quite good. It will be passed in the coming few days and it will be effective as of January the 1st. People will be able to have health insurance. Everything they pay for the pension funds, they will get a pension one day, because until now you would have to pay for the health insurance and for the pension funds, but you would not get the right to use it. So now we have turned this around, and people, when they pay something, they will also be able to use this.
And so we've gone from a situation where in 2020 you were worried about having to sell your house to cover these debts. How do you feel now? Are you still worried you're going to have to sell your house?
So we'll see whether I will return my status to entirely freelance again.
And so would you describe the campaign as a success?
It's a great success, yes. Compared to all other types of doing business in Serbia, actually now freelance is the best one regarding to the amount that you need to pay, or you need to pay the least amount.
And this was caused by you and other people just like you mobilizing and coming together and collectively organizing. So I wonder if you could say how that feels.
Well, the feeling is great, and it's actually amazing that what you can do if you organize and if you follow the strict rules how to implement something. Because you first have to hand in somewhere a paper, and then you have to ask somewhere else, because if you don't follow the procedure, they will not talk with you. But yes, you can do a lot if you mobilize, if you do it correctly. There is a lot that every individual can do, no matter how desperate you think your situation is.
And you've achieved so much, and you've been part of this working group, and you've enacted changes through the government, which to my eyes are phenomenal. And I wonder, how do you feel about what you've achieved?
I think that I or my organization did achieve a lot. It is a long process, you know. Protests are, we concluded our protest activities like 1.5 years ago. And then the thing settled, and people, we got a deal, previous deal with the government, and everybody was, you know, went back to their posts. And then I stayed in this working group and try to, you know, put, you know, keep people informed what's going on. And at the end, we got this deal, which is a good deal in my opinion. And personally, I think we definitely did a great job, and it's so much better than it was. And I think people now have another model, you know, they can choose from another model if they want to stay freelancers, if they don't want to or cannot register as entrepreneurs, they can do this. And this model is better than in many other countries.
Yeah, let's put it this way. You're still in Belgrade.
Yeah. I still have a roof over my head, yes. My daughter is still with me.
Thanks to Tamara and Sonia for taking the time to speak to me. At Fair Work, we believe that all work can and should be characterised by fair pay, fair conditions, fair contracts, fair management and fair representation. Platforms ultimately have the power to improve standards and the ability to choose to. Many platforms operate in numerous countries around the world, and whilst every country, every city and every worker is unique, many of the issues experienced by workers are transnational. In addition, platforms often operate across multiple countries, and the practices which they employ have huge impacts on the lives of gig workers around the world. Platforms can take a proactive approach to ensure that the work they provide is fair and decent. We're actively campaigning to improve conditions for gig workers around the world and hold platforms to account. You can find out more at fair.work. This episode was written and produced by Robbie Waring. Our music was composed by Louis Bolaise.